Yo, welcome back to another episode of On Spot Sports. I'm Jack, and in today's episode, we are joined by a very special guest, current professional baseball player, Jamie Smart. Jamie currently plays for the Windy City Thunderbolts in the Frontier League. He plays college baseball days at Loyola Marymount in the West Coast Conference before turning pro. So this is going to be a fun interview, Jamie. So welcome to the show, Jamie Smart.
Thank you. Thank you. Quite the introduction.
Oh, yeah. We always got to give our guest a top quality introduction. So that's cool.
Did your research. I love it.
I did. That always got to do your research for the guest. That's for sure.
That's true.
Yeah, but how have you been? Like, how are things going with in Windy City this year?
Things are going good, other than being currently suspended till the 20th. But, I'm making the most of it. Like, it's definitely been a very impactful thing on my career. I've never really been in this position before. And, yeah, but I'm making the most of it and being able to see some of Chicago while I'm on the suspension.
Can't complain about that.
No, definitely not. Nope.
Yeah, so, like, how's the season going for the team and yourself individually, like your stats and everything?
Personally, the stats started to turn around right before. So it's a 2-week suspension. I'll be honest. I'm not spending time with the team right now. Like, I don't know if I will be back on the team after the suspension or not. So I'll speak more for myself and less for the team, but I was starting to turn around. Like, I think the last 2 weeks before kind of this all happened, I was starting to get very hot. I was leading the league in walks at time and seeing the ball really well, which is probably the most important thing. But then in the last 2 weeks, I really felt like I was starting to get my good swings off and not try to do too much. So that was nice. The numbers started to turn around too.
Yeah, that's awesome that they're turning around. Hey, you're leader in walks. So you're getting on base. So that's all that really matters, is getting on base.
Yes. It's a good thing to do. One of my great teammates would say a walk is as good as a hit, and I took that to heart. So.
Oh, yeah, I love that. So to start things off, can you give our viewers like a little background information on yourself, like when you decided to play baseball, how old were you, and like what youth baseball was like for you growing up?
Yeah. So I started playing whenever I could walk, pretty much. Like, my family was big into baseball. My grandpa played like a little semi-pro baseball like before World War II. Not a ton, though. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really – but, yeah, my family was a big baseball fan, so I was always around it. Youth-wise, yeah, it was nice. My dad was my, like, little league coach growing up, so it was always fun to have that. And we would win championships on the regular, so that made baseball fun.
No big deal.
Baseball's more fun when you win. So, and I was playing for my dad and playing with all my friends growing up. So, like, I think that's where I really kind of – fell in love with the sport and like started to develop a passion around it. It was youth sports, so little league.
Yeah, that's awesome. And winning championships, hey, that's not a big deal. Like, you love winning championships and getting those wins and those trophies on
even if you're in second grade.
Exactly.
The trophy's bigger and shinier.
Exactly. I won in like fourth grade. And,
oh, that
and
then a like, pretty big shiny trophy.
It was. And then my like junior in high school. So
I'm all for
the trophies.
Oh yeah. And then when you get older, they turn to rings. So that's cool. Yeah.
That's pretty cool though. So you grew up in California. So like, what was it like growing up in the big state of Cali?
It was awesome. Like, we were kind of like 45 minutes outside of San Francisco. So not too much in the hustle and bustle, but like still in the suburbs. And for me, it was probably a perfect mix of like being able to go outside and just go on hikes or get outdoors, get away. And like being in a populated area where it's like, there's a lot of talent sports wise. So you could get the instruction, get the competition you needed to play. So it was a really fun upbringing. I mean, I split time between my parents' house in San Ramon and then my grandparents' house in Oakland. My grandparents would watch me kind of when my parents were busy. And they're in the Oakland Hills, like a bunch of hiking areas. So I was able to explore a lot of California as a kid. Or not California, but my grandparents' yards and my parents' yards. So
yeah, that's still pretty cool. And I bet it have a ton of amazing views because California is filled with just mountains and so many views.
One of the views is my background for this. Oh, picture myself.
That's sick.
Mount Tamalpais.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So then, going into like college ball though here, so you first started playing your college baseball career in 2015, playing at Loyola Marymount in the WCC. So like what went into picking a school that would fit you and to play baseball there?
So at LMU, I wasn't even on my radar in the beginning of the recruiting process. Like wasn't really looking to go there. Like my top school was like Stanford, and like I wanted to be like kind of West Coast, like Stanford, Cal Poly, for the most part, like UCLA, and like was looking at the big name schools like every middle schooler does and high schooler does. But then I was going into my junior year. It was the summer before my junior year of high school. Summer before senior year. And I was just doing the showcase circuit, you know, kind of thing. And LMU found me, contacted me, and then they brought me down for a visit and then offered me, and we're moving pretty fast. And I was kind of like, well, I might want to wait out for these bigger schools. But at the same time, what made me choose it was just seeing the head coach and how he carried himself. And he was not, even during my recruiting trip, it wasn't like he was trying to like blow smoke up my butt. Sorry, hopefully we can say that. Like he was being very genuine, and they were very like just blunt about things. They're like, hey, this is your scholarship offer and you're our number one choice, but if we don't get you, we're gonna go to this other guy, and like you got a week to decide. And like pretty much gave a timetable, but like made it clear that they were obviously wanting me, but they're like, hey, we want you, but we don't need you. And I liked that the coach didn't try to like pump me up more or like just be a used car salesman. He just kind of said it as it was. So I knew I could trust him. So I ended up going with LMU, and yeah, probably the best decision of my baseball career so far. So
yeah, that's awesome. You love when guys aren't like sugarcoating anything. They'll just tell you the truth, like as it is, just say it. And it makes everything a whole lot better, because even though sometimes you don't want to hear that stuff, but it makes it better and an easier decision for you as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So then you go into your first year of college baseball. So like, what was your first year of college ball like?
That was a fun one. Like we had a lot of talent on that team. I know like we were supposed to be really good. Like preseason, ESPN had us like 18th in the nation. We had a lot of guys come back that were supposed to go in the draft. So we had a very stacked team. I think there's already like three big leaguers from that team that are currently guys that have been in the big leagues at least. So yet, like we got, that team was a lot of talent. So I just was trying to find myself as a player and just person on the team. Like, it's like, I wasn't coming in to take any jobs freshman year, but I kept my head down and I worked and fell into a pinch hitting role that developed into a starting role by playoff time. So that was probably one of the cooler things in my career to experience. Cause like growing up, I'd never been a bench player. Just like rarely anyone rides the bench growing up. And then you're thrown in the college mix with a lot of good players that some are 4 years older than you and much stronger and more physical and wiser and, you know, higher baseball IQ, but you're kind of thrown into the fire cause you're all fighting for the same thing. And it taught me to keep my head down and just not worry about, because at one point I was hitting like over 400 as a pinch hitter and still not getting to start. and that was pissing me off because I was like, I feel like I earned my right here. But at the same time, like, I was a freshman with 30 ABs. Like, I still had a lot more to prove. And I just, you know, had that conversation with myself, with my parents, and just kept my head down and didn't complain to the coaches or didn't complain to it about my teammates and, like, be like, oh, I should be starting, that kind of thing. And it, that was probably one of the best, most humbling and best experiences for my baseball career at that point, just because at the end of the year too, like, I was starting and I felt like I finally earned my way. And then even in my exit meeting, the coach was like, yeah, like, honestly, like, my, one of my regrets about this season is I didn't start you earlier. And I was like, hell yeah, like, that pumped me up to hear, because, like, it was like I was fighting for it. But to get acknowledged for that was really cool. So that was how my freshman year went.
Yeah, that's always good that you got that starting role in the playoffs. Like, you just kept working, you get your opportunity to play. So if you end up just half-assing everything, like, you don't get that opportunity to play, to start. But you just kept working, grinding away, because that's what it's all about, is the grind, right?
Yeah, you just got to keep your head down. You got to – all the cliches are true. Like, enjoy the process. It's not about the journey, or not about the destination. It's about the journey. All those old adages are true. And as annoying as they may sound when people tell them to you, just got to do them.
Exactly. So, like, going into, like, you said earlier about, like, that guys are, like, 3, 4, even 5 years older than you as you're a freshman. It's, like, how do you deal with that and just outworking everyone, just continue to stay where you are and just grind, especially when guys are stronger, bigger, faster, and all that?
Honestly, I think culture just of the team plays a huge role in that, because I was lucky enough to have – some of the older guys, like the sophomores that had been around, they were very – the team. Honestly, the whole team was very welcoming and brought in guys and, like, made you feel like you're a part of the team, you know? Like, there was no hazing. There wasn't any, like, you know, like clickiness as much. Like, obviously clickiness happens, but, like, there wasn't any, like, toxic – it was a very healthy environment to develop in. And so it was just easy, because you'd always have friends going to the field, get extra work in, or, like, going to the cages at night after class or anything. So it was like that set a basis and taught me how to, like, carry myself in the baseball world, both professionally and collegiately. Because, I mean, yeah, like I said, there's 3 people from that one college team who have made the big leagues already. Like, it's like that team had some unreal talent for a mid-major. And I just watched those guys and observed them, and not even try to outwork them, just try to keep up with them. Because to some degree, you just keep up with the best. You're going to be there someday.
Exactly. That's how it usually goes down. Just being able to see what they do and learn from them. It's just very important there, and just you're learning from them. You learn how to play at the college level, and then you just take that and learn and, like, take it in your mind and just go with it and just go with the flow and just, like, learn from the guys that are at that top level.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's better to look at it from, like, just trying to emulate or be like, instead of, like, being better than and competing, because it's like, it's just a better, you know, like, obviously you push each other, but at the same time, it's like, don't worry about being better than them. Just try to keep up with them and you'll be all right.
Yeah, exactly. So then you go into year two for you. So, like, what was year two like, and just having that experience, that year of experience under your belt, and just being able to push your boundaries a little bit more?
Personally, year two was very cool. That was my kind of breakout. Like, I finally became, like, the everyday starting first baseman for them and was, like, middle of the lineup bat. And I remember I had, like, a 36 on base streak record that year. And I was pumped about that because Joey Votto was, like, my favorite big leaguer, or is my favorite big leaguer hitter to watch. So he's big on the on base stuff. So it was a good year personally, but as a team, that was my least favorite year of baseball ever. Just, it was a toxic environment. We had a lot of JUCO transfers. We had a lot of older guys that were coming back from LMU that didn't know how to handle older guys from somewhere else trying to change the culture. And there just wasn't good communication, a lot of passive aggressiveness. And it was the only year we went under 500 and didn't make league playoffs that I was there. And it was crappy, but a great lesson. Taught me how, like whenever I sense vibes like that, which I have, I get away from them in baseball, like, or not get away from them, but try to change them, you know, because it showed me what crappy teams look like and how bad, because that team was more talented, arguably, than the other one. And we just had bad chemistry and never put things together. And it was an unenjoyable year of baseball. So,
yeah, for sure.
And just sophomore year went.
Yeah, and culture, like, is super important in any sport, because, like, if you're all, like, buying together, like, those are what the best teams are made of, and the championship winning teams. And then when you get guys that have, like, that toxic environment, like you said, and it just takes everyone down, like, everyone goes down the wrong ship, and then you guys end up just arguing over each other, not good at communicating, just a whole mess.
Yeah. It was, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
So then you go on to year three, and it's getting better. I would imagine. So, like, what was year three like, and just being able to, like, jump, get over that obstacle of, like, the culture?
Yeah. So year three was a very pivotal year for everyone involved in LMU baseball. So my junior year was when we won conference. We got rings. We were regular season champs, like, tied. So we still got rings, still counts. But that team started from nothing. Because after that sophomore year where we underperformed, the coach just was, like, riding us all fall. Like, that was a terrible fall. But in a good way. Like, he was getting us back to just grinding. And that fall was when we came together as a group for the first time in my whole time at LMU. Like, the JUCO guys that transferred in, like, everyone started pulling on the same end of the rope. And eventually, like, yeah, there was a lot of arguments and disagreements and tussles, but, like, that's what built us to be a stronger team. It's like, you need those disagreements and arguments to, like, air things out and, like, communicate things. But, like, once you got through those, it became, like, a brotherhood type thing. And, like, that team was the most fun I've had playing baseball in my life. And it was awesome. Like, we turned it around. We had, like, four pitchers because a bunch of guys got hurt in the fall. We literally had four pitchers. We called them the four horsemen. And our offense raked. And we just dominated. We had 38 wins, like, most road wins in the nation. We lost one series all year. Like, it was, like, a crazy year, but we choked and didn't make our league championship. Like, in our league playoffs, all we had to do was make the championship game to get a regional, and we didn't. And even then, we still thought we'd get an at-large bid because we were 38 wins, like,
yeah.
Most road wins in the nation, like, literally lost one series all year. So, like, that was a tough one to swallow because we had all the potential. Like, we didn't have the potential. We just had the chemistry. It was like the opposite of the year before. The year before had the talent. This team didn't have the same talent, but it had the camaraderie and the grit that you need to win a championship. And we did, technically. So that was a fun year. Very fun. And I performed well personally that year. So that was a little cherry on top.
Yeah, I was gonna say you were batting .326, I believe it said. So, like, what do you think helped you see the ball so well that year?
So yeah, I hit .326, but what you won't see in the stats is that the first, like, 4 weeks I was hitting, like, below 200, like, not doing well. And then I ended up hitting .394 in conference that year, like, led the league in hitting that year. And yeah, it was first team all league. So it was a solid year. But it was like two halves to that year, two parts. Like the first part was like the preseason, like, and then once we got into conference, I remember there's one game I was hitting seven hole, and I'd never hit seven hole since like my freshman year. Like I was like the four hole, five hole hitter pretty much always. And they're hitting me seven hole and I'm like, oh no. And I'm hitting below 200 at this point. So I'm like, uh-oh, like I'm going to start losing my starting role. And then I'm hitting extra with the coach, with the hitting coach. And he brings me aside and he's like, yo, like just chill. Like we're hitting you seven hole. It's take pressure off. Like you just need to stop trying so hard and relax. That's all he told me.
And just stop overthinking.
Yeah, literally just because I'm a very like intense, get very angry with myself type of guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was like, bro, just chill. Like I actually had an anxiety attack like a couple days earlier. Like none of the coaches knew, but it was the first one I ever had because I pinch hit in the Tuesday game and had the worst AB of my life. Struck out three pitches. Like swinging just terrible. And after that game, I was like I was having a terrible year, like numbers wise. I had an anxiety attack. And then funny enough, a couple days later, the coach doesn't even know. And he brings me aside and he's like, yo, chill. And then after that, like that series, I went 7-for-13. And then I just tore it up and hit 394 in conference.
It started out not so great, but it ended really well. So that's all you can.
Exactly.
So then you go into your final year of college ball. So like, what was that senior year like, and just being on the edge of going pro and staying for your last year of college ball?
That was an interesting year. Very rewarding, very challenging. Because I personally went through a lot of anxiety and depression kind of following junior year. And was fighting that. Like it got to the point where like in August going into my senior year, I was throwing up every morning. I didn't have anything in my stomach, but I was throwing up like bile and nothing. And I was like just laying in bed until summer ball games and working out. And like it was terrible. Like it was just, and I lost like 20 pounds and just was not doing well when I came back to LMU, like was not in shape. And I was trying to keep it from everyone, not tell anyone, but like, obviously I wasn't as strong. I was 20 pounds lighter. Like, so I had to finally let people know. So I let my head coach know. And that senior year, like the way he handled it, like definitely played a role in like saving my life, because he was just so excited. Like, yeah, he was a hard nosed grinder baseball guy. And that's what made it so like scary for me to tell him, because I didn't know if he was, like mental, you know, mental health, mental weakness, kind of viewed, frowned upon in the sports society to a certain extent. Like, yeah, it's coming around now, which is nice to see, but like, yeah, like it's kind of like chin up, nut up and go do your thing. But he didn't handle it like that at all. He like kind of took me under his wing that year, and we became very close through it. And he was pretty much like, I remember one of the first things he said was like, well, what do you need? Like, what can I, like, do you want time off? Do you want, like, it wasn't like he was questioning what I was going through. He just immediately wanted to help. And that was sweet. Like just to experience that kind of like love on a baseball field, not from your parents, like it was awesome. So that was the beginning of senior year, started to turn it around. It was just a tough year personally. But yeah, honestly, same kind of thing happened when season started, got off to a slow start, but ended up still winning first team all league and hitting 310 in conference. So yeah, the numbers weren't great. I hit like 270 and like, or 275, didn't hit my first bomb till like halfway through the year, but like I turned it around and still get that first team all league plaque, which is nice.
There you go.
But not the draft plaque. Did not get drafted that year because as a first baseman, only hitting four bombs won't cut it. So yeah, that's what happened. Had to take the indie ball route, and here we are.
Yeah, and just going through with like a coach like that, and just like how supportive he is, and just being able to like help everything, like just shows how good people can be and just how much people care about you.
Yeah. No, and that's like, that was the first time where it just like genuinely felt on a baseball field. Like, not first time, but like,
yeah.
Like, where it was like, sports aside, that guy cared for me. Like, it didn't matter whether I was hitting 500 or hitting 100. Like, he cared for me. And like, I knew that, and that's why I opened up with him. But it's like, once I experienced that, I was like, oh, this guy's got my back, you know?
Yeah, it's a great feeling when they have your back, for sure.
Yeah.
So then after college ball, you end up going on to play professional baseball at the Santa Fe Fuego in the PECO League. So, like, what was the process like to find and sign with a professional baseball team in Santa Fe?
So actually I went college trying to figure out whether I was going to sign as, like, a free agent or indie ball or what. And then a month later I went and played in Winnipeg, Canada for 2 games in the American Association. Got released after 2 games. And then I went down to Pecos for like 2 weeks, and Pecos, it was an interesting experience. I don't know if I'd consider that professional baseball, but at least when I was there, I don't know how it is now. I mean, it was an opportunity. It was a place to play, you know, and you can't knock that, you know. It's just guys that still love the sport who haven't had the ideal path. And like, that included me. So I was there and got to see some cool parts of the country I've never been to, and play baseball 6 days a week for 2 weeks with them. And that was awesome. Like, it was fun. It kind of got me back to just like playing it like I was when I was a little kid, you know, like with my buddies, where like the recruiting didn't matter. Like it was just, it was fun. So did that. And then, what did I do after? Went to Lincoln Salt Dogs after. And that was like my first real pro ball team. Because it's a great setup. The coach there knows my college coach. So like, it kind of worked out. He was the one helping me find an indie ball job. So that's kind of how I got into indie ball. Played there for a player in Lincoln who hurt himself, like messed up his hammy, but he was like a veteran hitter, like really good. Like, I wasn't taking his job. I was just filling in for him while he was hurt. And during that time, I balled out and earned my way onto the team. And manager, like in the beginning, he's like, hey, yeah, we're going to bring you on. And like, you're just going to play while Kurt's hurt. But like, after that, we're going to move you. And I was like, okay, yeah, it's an opportunity. But by the end of it, they're like, well, you're playing too good for us to move you. So they kept me around. I was like, pinch hitter, spot DH here. But like, the reps were limited. And the coach was honest with that about me, and he asked if I wanted to be traded. But at that point, there was like 3 weeks left in the season. I was like, I had like two ex-big leaguers on my team, like a bunch of older veterans that were just awesome and teaching me a lot. So I was like, 3 weeks of reps isn't going to mean that much. But like, learning lessons from ex-big leaguers and guys that are just genuine, good teammates and mentors, like, that'll be better for my career than 60 ABs, you know. Like, so I hung around till the end of the year and just getting like pinch hit spots here and there, not really getting many opportunities, but I was fine with it. So yeah, that was my first year of indie ball, first indie ball team.
Yeah, so like, what were some of like the biggest things that you learned throughout your first year of pro ball, especially with learning from those ex big leaguers?
Personally wise, you just learn to keep your head down and not like worry about anything, and know that you could get released tomorrow. So literally just enjoy it, because you have no clue when your last day of baseball is going to be. Like, it sounds cliche or whatever, but literally in indie ball, it's like you have a bad couple games, you're getting released. Like, that's how it works. Like, especially nowadays. Like, so that was my first like real taste of that. And yeah, that was probably one of the more important lessons. But then like, just from the teammates, like, I just watched how they carried themselves, like how they went about their business. And one guy, Dan Johnson, he played for the A's. He had a home run. I don't know if it was like in the 2000s. He was like older, but he was coming back as a knuckleball pitcher. And I mean, he was a 10-year big leaguer, first baseman, like played for Ron Washington, one of the best infield coaches of all time. Like, he knew his stuff. And I would just hang out with him during BP and, like, after, and he would just talk and tell me about grounders, like, always, like, stay low and slow, and go through it. And then during BP, it was, like, see how easy you can hit homers. Like, those were two things that kind of stuck with me. I mean, there's – I go on about a lot of stuff, but, like the try to hit homers as easy as you can without swinging hard, and then staying like low and slow through the grounders where you don't back up, you just go get it, you go through it and find a way. So
yeah, that's awesome. And just like, it's easy to hit homers, just like keep it simple and just like don't overdo anything and just make it as easy as possible, like you said.
Yeah, exactly.
So then you go into the following year where you play in the Frontier League with the Gateway Grizzlies and the Southern Illinois Miners. Like, what was it about playing baseball in Illinois that made you want to stay in Illinois? Or was it just about getting that opportunity?
Well, I don't really have much of a choice of where I play. So sorry to the Illinois people, but I did not choose it. I love it here, but Anyways, that was a cool experience. Actually, between then and the offseason after Lincoln, I went to Australia for a little. It was cool. I liked to play baseball.
How was that?
For like 3 months. It was a great life experience, you know. Baseball wasn't quite the situation I was looking for, so yeah. I came back early. But, I mean, I lived in Australia for 3 months, so.
It's not a bad place.
It was sweet.
Yeah, I bet.
But, yeah, back to Illinois. Illinois, Australia, pretty much the same. Geography.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. But yeah, so Gateway was awesome. Love the teammates there. That was like my first real pro ball. Like, Lincoln was where I like learned and stuff, but this was the first time I was getting an opportunity to like really perform professionally. And it was awesome. Like, coaches were great, the players were still close with a lot of them, still keep in contact with a lot of them. My host family was amazing. Like, I still keep in contact with them. They actually offered for me to stay with them while I'm suspended anyways, because technically don't have a place to live right now. So they offered, and they've been awesome, and I've been figuring stuff out. And so Gateway was cool. And I learned some lessons there, started out really hot. Like, the first month of the season was hitting like almost 400, but then I was like starting to try to do too much, because I was like, well, I need to hit bombs, like, why am I not getting picked up, this kind of thing. But it's like classic rookie, you know, not really knowing how to go about it. And it's like, what I learned there was just to keep my head down, because I started trying to do too much. I went from hitting like 385 to like 285 span of like 2 weeks. Like, pro ball, that stuff happens, comes at you fast. And then I kind of evened out, but then halfway through the season they traded me to Southern, because Gateway was in last place and Southern needed a first baseman, and they're in the playoff hunt, like playoff picture. So I got to go from a last place team, even though it was great guys and everything. I mean, it kind of sucks when you don't win all the time. Can't play music in the locker room after games. Yeah. That sucks. But like, being on Southern was awesome, and the coaches treat me well there. They're very upfront with me, and the teammates there again were awesome too. So, like, indie ball guys, I love playing. That's one of the cooler things, is just the people you meet in indie ball, because everyone's there because something didn't go how they planned it in their lives. It's like, no one wants to be in indie ball. We all want to be in the big leagues right now, but like in indie ball, you're just around grinders who have found ways to overcome adversity and still want to keep playing the sport. So yeah, that's
exactly. Cool. And they love the game. They just want to continue playing grind it out, enjoy the process. The process exactly. It's all about. So it makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, I've definitely been able to fall more in love with baseball just through indie ball and being around guys like that. Because it's like, there's times in my career where I was like kind of over baseball, wasn't really feeling it, was like ready to quit or like move on. But when you get around guys like this who truly love it and just truly grind, it's hard not to like see the beauty in it.
Yeah, exactly. So like, how important are these opportunities given to you that like you could be released at any time? Like when you get this opportunity, like how special is it for you to get those opportunities to continue playing ball, whether it's in indie ball or somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best thing you can do for yourself is just realize how lucky you are at still being able to play baseball at whatever age. Like I'm 25, like fact that I still get paid to play baseball at 25, like that's where it helps take the stress and the pressure off, because like baseball doesn't matter, it's a kid's game. Like we're just still lucky enough to be able to play it. Like you better not take it seriously, because if you do, you're gonna be regretting the rest of your life that you just didn't enjoy the only time you got to play baseball as a job. So yeah,
absolutely. So then going into about the following year, it was a tough year as there's no baseball due to the pandemic. So like, what do you do to help give yourself the best chance to stay in baseball shape so that when the season came along this year that you were going to be ready and not be behind everyone?
Yeah, so actually my coach in Lincoln, that Bobby guy, the coach that coached me for the Salt Dogs, he put together a like month-long season, or he helped put together with this college summer ball team, the Santa Barbara Foresters. And that team actually had like all the best college players because the Cape Cod League was not going that year because of COVID. It was a team of indie ball and released minor leaguers versus best college kids in the nation. Like guys that went in the first round, first couple rounds were on that team. So it was cool to do that. And it was against a team that was in the summer collegiate league that I played against. And we got to live in Santa Barbara for a month at a hotel. So, it was sweet. So that's what I did during COVID. That was like the month of July. I met my hitting coach there. And then me and him started working together. And pretty much he's been helping me work on developing more natural power and using my size to my advantage. He has a master's in biomechanics and he's like baseball guy, like very, and he's become a very good mentor for me just with the sport and just in life in general. At this point, we spent so much time together.
Yeah.
So yeah, even though COVID like on paper didn't do anything or didn't do much, like that was probably where my career went, like started to go on the right track to where it's like, if I'm ever going to make it in this sport, like that was where I started. Like, yeah, I've played my whole life or whatever, but that was where I really kind of found myself and like found, like re-fell in love with the game. Cause we were just playing exhibition games. Like they're like 4-0, fans couldn't be there. Scouts were there. But other than that, it was just playing baseball for playing baseball's sake. And it was cool. So that was a very productive summer for me.
Yeah, and you got to play baseball and you met your hitting coach, so to it.
Yeah.
But nothing could have gone worse for you there.
Exactly.
So you gotta enjoy that time that you have and just be able to play the game whenever you can and just learn from your hitting coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jamie, I have a few more questions for you before we wrap things up. So, do you have any tips for baseball players looking to get to that next level?
Yeah. Just quit now. You're never going to make it. It sucks. It's going to break your heart. And, you'll probably go through some mental breakdowns due to this sport. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not kidding. That's probably all true, but it's going to be all worth it. Even if one person listening to this makes it, because yeah, baseball is life, as cliche as it is. It teaches you to deal with failure and just ride with that failure, because you're going to fail a lot in life. And once you learn how to deal with failure, life doesn't become easy, but it becomes more enjoyable and wholesome. So keep your head down through the hard times. Just grind. Just work. Try to find ways to fall in love with the sport, even though you're going to hate it 75% of the time. Like, just embrace those moments. Like, one thing my college coach told our team that stuck with me is one day we were doing, like, base running, like, just some BS, like, pre-practice base running that everyone hates. Like, and he's, like, yelling like he was, like, not mad, just, like, popping off, talking about random stuff. And he's, like, you guys know what? You're going to miss those raspberries on your legs from sliding when you retire, like when you don't get to play anymore. And like in college, it's like part of me was like, I'm going to miss getting hurt from sliding. Like, no. But at the same time, it was like, because I had known him pretty well by this point. Like, this was when I was going through my stuff. So like, I knew his wisdom and that kind of thing. I was like, he's so right. So like, I just try to embrace everything. Like, if I dive and land wrong and it hurts, I'm like, ooh. Like, if I get hit by a pitch, it's like, when's the, like, when does anyone in the general public get to get hit by a 95 mile an hour fastball? Like, never. Like, it's just going to bruise you. You're fine. Like, just wear it.
Yeah.
You'll never get
to experience it. On it.
Yeah. You'll never get to experience that again in your life. Like, I want to get thrown at one time. I wanted somebody to come for my head and see what it's like.
just see how it is. No big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure there's some pitchers in the league that probably will actually do that when I'm not suspended anymore. So that's fine. I'm ready for it.
You'll always be ready on your toes there.
Oh yeah. Hey, there's a reason I lead the league in walks, or did at the time before I got suspended.
That is true. So my next question for you is, how important is the grind in the process for you and in your future successes? Like we've talked about, like, you got to enjoy the grind, enjoy the process, but like, how important is it to you?
Well, I think it's important in the sense of it teaches me discipline and work ethic with what I'm passionate about. Like, realistically, grinding and working at baseball isn't important because it's just baseball. But I think the habits you develop from it, like, regardless of whether I make it to the show or not and have a 10-year career and make $43.7 million and regardless of whether I make it or not, like, the habits I develop from just keeping my head down and working on such a benign and pointless skill, like, yeah, it's fun to watch, but like, in the scheme of life, it's like, I'd probably be doing a lot, making a lot more money if I taught myself how to bake bread for 8 hours a day, every day. Like, I'd own the best bakery in the world by now, but it's like, no, I chose to do the hardest thing that pays the least. So that's where I'm at. But it's like, yeah, the grind is important, but it's not like I'm going to sit here and act like I grind every day and don't take off days. Like, part of life is resting. Part of life is being in a shitty mood and like feeling like you can't do anything. And that happens to me all the time. Like, it's not like I'm some robot that just sits there and grinds. But what has helped me in recent years, just through the struggles I've gone through, is like learning how to readjust my focus on just like, it's not even like, like, if I'm dealing with somebody, it's like, oh, let me just focus on this. And, like, even if it's just I'm shooting hoops at the basketball court, like, oh, let me focus on having a loose wrist every time. And that's, like, if I'm focusing on that, I can't focus on my shitty-ass thoughts, you know? So,
yeah, exactly. And just got to do what you got to do, recover as well, and just, like, readjust your thoughts, like you said.
Yeah.
So my final question for you is, like, when you're in the batter's box, like, what's your mindset when you get in the batter's box and you just see pitches?
Well, the ideal mindset, the one I try to get to a lot, is I'll step in and I'll have like my keys, like make sure I'm focusing on my breath. Like, number one is focus on my breath. And then I trust that my mechanics are there, so I'm not thinking about my swing at all. So I'm just focusing on my breath and staying loose and relaxing my eyes and then seeing the ball when it comes and making sure that when I see the ball, my hands are ready to hit and my body's in a position to where I can do damage if I want to swing. And then I'll just trust that since I've taken tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of swings in my life, my body knows what it can hit or not hit if I set it to a certain goal. And it's like every time I step in the box, like unless there's a situation up, I'm trying to hit a homer to center and letting the ball do what it does. Like I'm just trying to hit a homer to center. Sometimes if I'm struggling, I change it to try to take the pitcher's head off, like with a line drive, like just kill a pitcher. Like not actually kill them, but like
one straight up middle.
Yeah, just right up the middle, head high. But when I'm feeling it, I'll try to hit a homer to center and just make sure I'm focusing on my breath, make sure I'm seeing the ball, and make sure I'm on time. And that's about it. Trusting that everything else comes. I don't really think about what pitches, like unless the guy's extremely dirty or like really painting a certain area. It's like no pitcher in this league is good enough that you have to sit anything. Like no pitcher is good enough in the Frontier League. There's a reason they're in the Frontier League, and there's also a reason I'm in the Frontier League. It's like I just sit middle, try to be on time, try to hit barrel a ball somewhere pretty much. And I have those keys that I was talking about, but yeah, I'm like, unless a guy, like, yeah, sure, some guys are good and I'm like, oh, okay, like you earned my respect. One out of every 85 pitchers maybe, but like for the most part, it's just I just sit middle, treat it like BP, and when I do that, that's when I start getting hot. That's what I was doing right before this whole suspension thing. So
I just worry about being loose, just hitting the ball right where you want, and just get as many homers as you can.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Jamie, this has been so much fun. So, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time. I want to wish you the best of luck with the rest of the season. I look forward to following your career the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you, bro. Thanks for taking the time to interview some random guy who says he plays baseball.
Always will.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, no problem.